Good morning. I'm glad to see you all. Some Christians feel bad when they are not able to do more for the cause of Christ. Others seldom think about it, much less are concerned about it. And some who have noticed the church is in decline, there's no sense in even trying. But each Christian has a particular function or ability which can be put to use in the church. We are members of the same body. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, Paul says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." Not all of us could be song leaders. Not all of us are comfortable wording a public prayer or reading scripture. Not all of us have the physical ability to clean the church building or shovel snow or mow the grass or do the maintenance that's required at the building. But God expects us to find our function and do what we can with the ability that we have. In 1 Peter 4:11, the record says, "If anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth." That God in all things may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. We are given different abilities. And our Lord expects us to use these things. Do what we can with what we have. As in the example of our reading this morning, that very touching moment in Bethany. And this woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. Very precious. And she broke the box or the bottle and poured it on his head. I want to tell you a couple things about this situation here. This ointment of spikenard was a concoction that was made from plants. If you've ever taken a blade of grass or some kind of a weed or something like that, and you squeeze it many times, there is a juice or a liquid that you can extract from it. Milkweed. But imagine how much work you have to do to fill a bottle, even a small bottle. How many of those blades of grass or pieces of stalks of milkwood or whatever, you would have to crush and extract that liquid out of it to fill a bottle. This stuff was imported from the East, and it was very, very expensive. And the bottle that it came in was not cheap. It was some kind of pottery. It had been formed and fashioned and kiln-dried and hardened. And so the bottle had value itself. and likely had a cork in the end of it, or a glass stopper sealed with wax. But the Bible says in verse 3 that she broke it. She was ready to expend all of it. She was willing to expend everything that she had in that moment for the comfort and the glory of Jesus Christ. In other words, she was all in. She wasn't holding anything in reserve. She was giving what she had to the Lord. And all she had was this bottle of ointment. But the fact that she broke the top of it, it implied that she wasn't going to save any of it. She wasn't holding anything back. She was giving her all to the Lord. And for that, she was criticized. That person lived back then, too, evidently. There were some there that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made?" Now, we're not told here, but in John chapter 12, we learn that this was none other than Judas Iscariot. So she was criticized. You know, there's some folks in the world, all they know to do is to criticize. And I'm not talking about constructive criticism. I'm talking about you didn't do it right. You didn't do it soon enough. You did it too soon. You should have done it this way. I would have done it another way. I say, next time you do it then. It's the reason some folks do nothing. Because they know that if they do something, somebody's going to criticize them. And so that keeps people from doing certain things. I've known the case where a few people didn't like the way a fellow led singing. And instead of and him not wanting to be a distraction to the worshipers, he stopped leading singing. John 12:42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, many also believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." I realize that's an extreme example. But the reason these people would not be, not express their allegiance to Christ, would not be faithful to Jesus, is because they didn't want the Pharisees to criticize them and thus kick them out of the synagogue. But Jesus defended her. He says, "Let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me." If somebody's doing good, don't criticize them. Get out of their way and let them go. I remember working down at the Toyota plant one time in Buffalo, West Virginia. And the foreman was kind of an excitable fellow. And we had these two older millwrights. They were getting close to retirement, but they buddied up together. They buddied together on every job just about we went out on. And they smoked. And so the foreman would give them a job to do, and he'd leave and come back to check on them, and he couldn't find them. And he'd go out to the smoke shack. You weren't allowed to just smoke anywhere. They had these designated smoking areas. And he'd go out there, and these two old fellows would be sitting out there smoking. And so he went to the foreman, went to the general foreman. He says, "I don't know what to do about these two guys." He said, "I give them a job to do, and I go away, and I come back. The job's done, but they're out in the smoke shanty smoking." He says, they're getting their work done? He says, yeah. He said, what should I do? He said, buy them a carton of cigarettes and give them some more work to do. Some people are always doing something, and other people are always going to be critical. We cannot silence the perpetual critic. It's just hard to do. He says, let her alone. She's done a good work. Now, obviously, if somebody's doing something dangerous or illegal or something like that, yeah, we stop them. But something as simple as mowing the grass. You know, one guy wants to mow it diagonally, and the other fellow says, no, you don't do it that way. You do it in parallel with the street. Who cares? It's grass. A bad yard cut's like a bad haircut. You're not going to know it in a week. But Jesus said in verse 8, she hath done what she could. Now, that's not saying that someone is allowed to get by doing the bare minimum because they haven't done what they could if they could have done more. But Jesus says she has done what she could. She didn't have money. Now, maybe she could have sold a thing, but she wanted to do something for the Lord. She anointed his body. Each one of us here has something we can do to glorify Christ. That's what it's about. Well, even though she has done what she could, and to some it appeared not to be anything, Jesus said in verse 9 that she'll be memorialized. And here we are 2,000 years later talking about her and what she did. Sometimes our work for the Lord may be to defend the ones who are actually doing something rather than the ones who just sit back and criticize. It takes no special skill to be a perpetual critic. All it takes is an ungodly and an unappreciative attitude. Now, I realize that everybody has reasons that they cannot do more at times. Time is a crucial factor. Time is so much a part of our lives. Just sit right now and count the clocks you have in your house. Don't do that right now. Listen to my sermon first. We have time we have to spend at work, time or school. I want us to resist the temptation to let time become an easy way out, because we're not going to fool anybody but ourselves. You take a mother that has a child or two, and it only takes one, but that little child takes time. It takes time away from what she might want to do for the Lord. You know, God expects mom to take care of the home, Titus 2 and verse 5. And a mother has a place that is important to God, 1 Timothy 2:15. We realize that. Sometimes health prohibits us from doing what we would like to do for the Lord. There are mobility issues. Hearing. My dad was nearly deaf by the time he died, and it really hampered him carrying on a conversation. Life circumstances. Maybe you have an elderly person that you're caring for. That takes a lot of time. Maybe you have a dysfunctional family situation. Maybe you're prohibited. I've known overbearing, supposedly, husbands who wouldn't allow their family to go to church, much less give a monetary donation each week. Nobody knows. The circumstances that you're living with. And even if you try to explain a situation, it's hard to fully get people to comprehend what you're talking about. It gets complicated. So there are valid reasons why people sometimes cannot do more for the Lord. But I think this example here proves to us that as Christians, we have the responsibility to do what we can. In Matthew 25:15, that great parable of the talents, the Bible says that unto one of the men he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Each one had differing opportunities and abilities. Same goes with us. The Lord recognizes that. He doesn't expect us to do what we cannot do, but He does expect us to do what we can. And everybody can do something. We need to find our niche. We need to find our groove. We need to know that we will make mistakes. Maybe we won't always make the right decision. Maybe we won't always do what was best. But we need to strive for doing what we can. And that includes striving for growth. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever, 2 Peter 3:18. There comes a time when we ought to be teachers, according to the Hebrews writer. If you've been a Christian for 5 years, you ought to know the plan of salvation. And it shouldn't have taken you that long. You ought to be able to recite a verse for each of the steps: hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, baptism, faithful living. Those scriptures ought to be in your head. It's not that much to remember. If you can quote every line of Seinfeld, you ought to be able to quote a few passages of scripture. We need to do Christianity. Think about that statement. We need to do Christianity. This congregation does a good job, I think. Cards, phone calls, visits, checking up on one another, words of encouragement. Sometimes we just need to get out of our comfort zone and do something remarkable for us. Some of you would never dream, some of you men, would never dream about leading singing because you're not comfortable. And maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone one time and try it. We got a couple song leaders in this congregation who could give you a few pointers. And really, you don't have to do anything but get the right note on the pitch pipe and get the congregation started. Once you get them started, they know what to do. We need to look within and ask, what am I doing? Am I growing? Have I grown since this time last year? Do I know more scriptures this year than I did last year? Have I made more phone calls and visited more folks? Have I gotten out of my comfort zone and walked up to somebody and says, I appreciate you. Good to see you here. Can I do more? Maybe I can do more than I'm doing. Everybody can do something. Strive for growth. Find your ability. Get out of your comfort zone and do Christianity. What can I do? I can do all I can. And you can too. But work done that is not done in the Lord is work that is done in vain. This morning, if you are not a Christian, we'd like to encourage you to think about your eternal soul and what you'll say to the Lord on the judgment day. When you stand before the Lord, poised between heaven and hell. Do you want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Or do you want to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? If you want to be welcomed into the heavenly home at the end of time, you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16. You need to repent of your sins, Acts 17:31. You need to confess the Lord Jesus, Romans 10:9-10. And you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And be faithful unto death to receive that crown of life, Revelation 2:10. If you're not a Christian this morning, or if you're not a faithful Christian, having obeyed the gospel and fallen away, we invite you to take a seat on the front row so that we can talk about your situation and so that we can do what needs done. Would you come now, please, as we stand and sing?